You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Up every morning just to keep a job. I gotta fight my way through the hustle and the hub. Sounds of the city pounding in my brain while another day goes down the drain.
What a great little tune. It's 34 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Levins. Thanks so much for joining us this morning here on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. As we exit the COVID quarantines and find ourselves in the midst of one of the most active job markets in history, it's good to take some time to reflect on our work lives and our careers, including discussing some of the practical 12 steps to landing your dream job. Creating a resume and a LinkedIn profile is one of the important steps. And now joining us is career coach Bruce Lockenauer. Bruce has spent the last 25 years working with board of directors, CEOs, and top executives on their career and talent needs. Prior to working for three of the world's premier executive search firms, Bruce worked in investment banking, private equity, and served as CEO of a company. He has a BA in economics from Northwestern and an MBA from Harvard, and has coached countless people over the years through successful job searches. Good morning, Bruce. Welcome back to Morning Air. Good to be with you once again to continue our series on finding that dream job.
John, happy to be here. Looking forward to our discussion.
I remember the last time that we were together on our last show, we had a caller who called in very emotional. She was in tears about how she and her colleagues were so overworked and feeling burnt out. Do you remember that call? And is this something that you see in real life in your work?
Yes, I will never forget Chelsea's call when she started crying. And it's a coincidence, John, that just since that call, there was another survey that came out, this one from a data analytics firm that looked at the workforce and found that 50% of people out there have had an increase in their workload during the pandemic. You know, with the cutbacks, firms were concerned, they cut back, and those left had to do more, much like our caller. They also found that nearly 90% of workers have experienced burnout during the last year. So, you know, if our listening audience felt burned out over time, as Chelsea did and others may have, they're not alone. I spoke recently with the managing partner of a local professional services firm, and his view was that he found that it was either one extreme or the other. Either people working remotely loved it. They figured out how to be with their family when they could and contain the work, but others were stressing out. It was just it was a lot for them. In fact, the Wall Street Journal highlighted an individual, 45-year-old guy, John, who worked for a financial services firm, and in the middle of the quarantine, he had a heart attack. The stress got to him. So coming out, thank God he survived. Coming back, he said, "I'm going to make some things non-negotiable. I'm going to exercise 3 times a week. I'm going to take my kids to school, and I'm going to manage my calendar. No more 6 a.m. calls. I'm going to limit meetings to 30 minutes, et cetera." So, you know, I thought that was a good example of what we should, you know, those suffering from burnout, which is a lot of us, should take to heart, meaning it's a good time to take a step back and get some perspective. I listened to your show last week with Harry Kramer. He talked about a 3-day silent retreat. I'm a big believer in retreats. And I think if you're feeling, you know, you don't see the way, you're kind of caught in the grind, what have you, it's good to take a step back, step out of the job, turn off your phone, go and pray, get recollected, and get things in perspective. You know, coming out of that, you may have lots of ideas and suggestions from it. You know, I would encourage just taking a look at how you're living. You know, are you getting enough sleep, exercise? Are you eating well? Are you praying? Are you getting some time to yourself and with our Lord? Is there a way to manage your job? Can you work with your boss to kind of set some limits like that one individual did? You know, one thing I learned early on was that you get asked to do many more things than it's possible in life. And it's always good, as eager as I am, John, to say, yes, I'd love to. I've learned to say, that sounds intriguing. Can I get back to you tomorrow on that? And take some time to assess what it would mean to do something like that. And then, go ahead, John.
I started to say, Bruce, I'm impressed with your perspective. It sounds like a business and career examination of conscience. Where are we at? What's really important? Because, my goodness, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are listening who are thinking, wow, I'm not working out three times a week. I'm not getting any exercise. I'm working 12-hour days. There's a lot of folks, like you said, if 90% of the people feel like they're burnt out and 50% are doing more work than they were before the pandemic, we have a problem.
No, agreed. And, it's hard to see when you're in it, John, but it helps if you step out. Hopefully, again, we won't have to have a heart attack to step out. But I encourage you, as you said, to do an exam, to go and pray, or if you could, go take a retreat and really think about, your whole life and how work fits into that. John, you probably know better than I do. I had the opportunity to work in Mexico, and my Mexican friends would tease me. They'd say, "You Americans live to work. Isn't it better to work to live?" So I started thinking about that. I thought, you're right.
Yeah, we don't take siestas like Hispanic friends do, and like they do in other countries. But maybe we should. anything to try to avoid, the stress and the burnout that you're describing. I think last week we also talked about the importance of discerning prayerfully what's next in our careers. What would you say is the second step from your game plan?
Yeah, John, the second of the 12 steps to finding your dream job is to pull together your marketing materials. Now, you mentioned LinkedIn and your resume. I would add to that social media. And before we get to each of those, you need to develop the overall theme of based on your prayerful discernment of what you're looking to do next, what kind of sector, what kind of company, what kind of job, you need to figure out, so what would you bring? And what I like to call it the three threes, John. So what are the three reasons why you want to work in that sector? What are the three reasons why you want to work for a particular company? And what are the three reasons why you would just be an awesome addition to that team? So as you get that theme together, you then want to look and make sure that your social media, your LinkedIn profile, and your resume are all complementary, that they all tell that story. And also that they are attractive, meaning that they're easy to read and discern the information.
Why is LinkedIn such a powerful tool these days? If talking about social media, can you talk a little bit about how LinkedIn is being used?
I will, John. I think they're all important. I want to go deep into LinkedIn and the resume, but let me just mention Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And you might think, wait a minute, Bruce, we're talking about jobs, aren't we? I have to tell you a story. Last week, I was on the phone with a C-level executive of a company, a mid to large size company, who told me that this executive received a Instagram connect request or a message on Instagram from a CEO who wanted to talk to this executive about a job opportunity on Instagram. So I think we should all pay attention to what's on our Instagram, because not only did this CEO of a prominent company look into this executive's Instagram account, but recruiters and hiring managers, I assure you, recruiters almost without exception will go and take a look at an executive or a person's Instagram account, their link, their Twitter, their Facebook, to try and get more of a feel who that person is. So there's a lesson in that, John. I talked about all three of these telling the same story. You want to make sure that your LinkedIn that your Instagram account and Facebook accounts reflect who you are and the way you want to be seen by a prospective employer. So what does that mean? Well, first you should check your privacy settings, and you should think about, could anything on this be perceived as objectionable? It's interesting. I was talking to my wife about this, and she said, "What about your Catholic identity? Do you want to hide that?" No, of course not. We are who we are, and I think from that perspective, if you've got Catholic things on your social media, I think that's great. I think that's apostolic. I think it's important that a prospective employer, if for whatever reason their environment wasn't aligned with your Catholic values, it's better to know that before you join the company than after joining the company. So sorry to go off on a tangent, but I think that social media, the whole social media part, is something that people don't think about, but is pretty critical, John.
And there's a lot of details in social media, the photo, the words, the language, the whole presentation, the image that you put out there, whether it's on LinkedIn or Facebook, Instagram, it doesn't matter. You're still presenting yourself. We have a lot more to talk about, Bruce. I want to invite our listeners, if you are interested in learning even more, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to share your story of looking for your ideal job, that dream job, or perhaps you have a question for Bruce on landing your dream job for a career coach. Bruce Lochenour, you can give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with career coach Bruce Lochenour. Stay with us. We'll be back with more after. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Working 9 to 5, what a way.
Thank you, Dolly. 48 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us as we continue our fascinating conversation with Bruce Lochenour, career coach, as we're talking about our series on landing your dream job. Today, we're talking about part two of 12 steps, developing marketing materials, resume, social media, all that good stuff. Bruce, welcome back.
Thanks, John.
I want to remind our listeners, if you want to jump in and be part of the conversation, any questions you might have for Bruce, our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Bruce, can you talk to us about some do's and don'ts when it comes to preparing your LinkedIn profile and your resume?
You bet, John. So it's critical that you don't embellish, that you're very truthful in what you put out there on your resume and LinkedIn. I remember early in my executive search career recruiting an executive who unfortunately put on her resume that she had received a degree. And part of the process is checking references and checking degrees. We'll talk about that in a later show, John, but in doing that, we found that she didn't have a degree. She had attended but didn't have a degree. And I confronted her. I said, you know, what's going on? And she said, well, first I had that I attended. And then I just, over time, I just listed the university. And then I put on that I had a BA and it kind of creeped along. And we talked to the client and the client understood what happened. And in this case, I gave her a pass and it turned out well. But it's best not to embellish because referencing, et cetera, will turn up those things. And it just doesn't, it's not good for anybody. Go ahead.
I was just thinking to myself, it's always a good rule to tell the truth, yeah. Because, you know, you think you're getting away with something, but it could come back to bite you even years later after you are already part of an organization.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I could tell you a bunch of stories about, especially on the degree front, but people will check things. So back to what the do's and the don'ts. Make sure it's the reverse chronological order, the most recent job at the top. And it's best to put accomplishments under the roles. So, I work, this is my responsibility, these are my accomplishments, versus I've seen somewhere there's a chronology on one page and the accomplishments on the other, and they force people to connect the dots. That's, you want to make things, as we talked about earlier, as easy for the reader as possible. You want to make it attractive and easy for them to get to the information. And then, John, I think it's important to put in a touch of personal into each, especially the resume. So that if you're interested in wine, if you're a runner, if you're a surfer like me, whatever, you put that on there because it adds another dimension. It gives the interviewer something, a personal way to connect with you.
And Bruce, it sure looks like LinkedIn has become the place for jobs. It's a great resource, great opportunity for many people.
It is. You know, it has run to the front of the pack, clearly. And both companies looking for people and people looking for companies are out there. So it is an essential piece of the puzzle here. And unlike the resume, LinkedIn, I see, is more of an advertisement. It's a way to attract someone to your background. So it's, you want to show your highlights, not make it an online resume. Your picture, unlike your resume, you need to have a picture. It's essential. There's been some studies that have shown that without the picture, your likelihood of being contacted drops dramatically. And depending on what level you're at and what sector you're in, I would browse out there and see what other people have done with their LinkedIn profiles and do what you feel portrays you in the best light. You know, the other thing, the key things about LinkedIn, John, but we'll just stop there, that LinkedIn is sort of a high-level marketing piece, profile of you. Again, factual, but the key things that we want to talk about later are using it as a platform for connecting to other people and also posting. And again, those we can go into in more detail.
It makes me think, a quick question, do you still need to prepare a hard copy resume if you're putting stuff out there on LinkedIn or social media?
Absolutely. The resume is almost always, without exception, asked for by an employer because it is the best source of the detailed information for that employer to look at your background and understand what you've done. And for you, for the candidate, it is the best way for you to portray your experiences and the relevant experiences that you've had and accomplishments that you've made for this prospective employer. So, go ahead, John.
888-914-9149. We have Phil calling us from Dallas. Phil, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Bruce.
Good morning. I just got out of Mass and just happened to turn the radio on, and I feel like this is an answer to a prayer that I've been asking for a few months now. But basically, I've been in the parks and recreation industry for 31 years. I'm a director, and I've been asked from time to time to consult and just started a business, consulting business, with a good, faithful Catholic friend as well. And back in last year of August, and wound up landing a good job. It just came out of nowhere. And that's kind of why I started the business and just hit it out of the park, unbelievably hit it out of the park. But we just can't seem to get traction. It's been about 6 or 7 months now, and I know there's a great need out there, especially with everyone that I talk to. We made business cards, put a Facebook page, a web page together. I'm on LinkedIn. I try to keep the two counts separate. My work, my job here knows that I do consulting, and they're fine with it, and just as long as it doesn't interfere with my job. But our consulting business, we have a separate web page for that and LinkedIn page for that. And I just feel like I need some help. We need some help. And it sounds like you have answers, because I was fearful about Facebook, and I got off Facebook, never did Instagram. But what you're speaking is speaking differently than what I've been doing. And I just really would like to connect with you. Maybe outside of this, maybe you can give me some advice, because I really feel like the work we're doing is needed, and we dedicated it and to the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I mean, we feel like we're doing everything right, but we just can't get those next jobs. So
help. You got it. Phil, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. And I'll say a prayer that things work out. And hats off to you for, after, you know, a long tenure trying something new, trying something entrepreneurial. I have no doubt that over time it's going to pay out for you. But you're right. In today's world, the social media is a key tool for raising awareness. Let me give you an example. Disney, before they post a job on their website, they post it to people who are connected to them on Instagram, because they feel those are the people that would resonate with their culture and their message, etc. So having a social media plan as part of your business development plan, I think, is essential.
Thanks, Phil. I appreciate the call. Bruce, we have time for one more call. Mark has called us. He's with us from West Hollywood. Good morning. Welcome, Mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Here's my question. I was just wondering if you could recap on step one, which is, using discernment to find an area that's good for you. B, besides me looking at my talents and my desires, is there any other help you can provide to how someone can figure out what area would be best suited for him or her?
Thanks, Mark. Bruce, we have less than a minute.
Yeah, you bet. I'm going to refer you, Mark, to a book, What Color is Your Parachute? It's been around forever, and they keep updating it, and it'll take you through a lot of the processes. The thing I would encourage you to do is to reach out to people who know you and ask them, tell them what you're thinking about, and then as you start finding things that look attractive, talk to people that are doing it. If you read the book, if you reach out to people and pray to St. Joseph, you put a note under him pray a novena or just find a prayer you like. It'll happen.
Appreciate it, Mark, very, very much. And of course, if you missed our first installment of the 12 Steps, you can go back and listen to our podcast at relevantradio.com. Bruce, as always, thank you so much for your tips. So much appreciated. It's always great stuff.
John, thank you. My pleasure.
Many blessings to you. Bruce Lockenour, career coach and executive search expert. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Kind of a nice story today in light of baseball playoffs underway. Our story today called What a Relief. It's from Sunny Skies. It was a shining example of sportsmanship from an eighth grader in Adairsville, Georgia. Lily Roberts is a pitcher for the Adairsville JV softball team. The team they were playing against a couple weeks ago was about to lose when their pitcher got sick. They were struggling, and I knew if I didn't step up, the game would have to end and they'd have to forfeit. So I just thought, I'd love to step up. That from Roberts speaking to 11 Alive. So that's exactly what she did. Roberts stepped right up to the mound and pitched for the opposing team. And she wasn't lobbing easy balls over the plate against her teammates. She was firing them across for strikes. She'd smile at them and then throw them a strike, said Coach Kelly Abernathy. She was pitching like she was pitching in a championship game. Even while Roberts was striking out her own teammates, girls on both benches were cheering. I think the other team was really supportive of me coming in to pitch for them. I did hear them cheering for me when I was pitching, and it made me feel good, said Roberts. Coach Abernathy said, it's not winning that makes him proud. It's how the players act and the lessons they learn on the field. If we could be as positive as Lily, there would be a lot fewer problems in the world, he added. From Matthew 5, 33 and 34, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Thanks so much, Glenn. I want to encourage our listeners to honor Our Lady of Fatima, the Lady of the Rosary, on this day, the 104th anniversary of the great miracle of the sun back in 1917. Pray for life and an end to legal abortion in America by joining Father Rocky here in the month of October for the Family Rosary Across America. Bring all your prayers and all your petitions every evening, 7 p.m. Central, every single night of the week, including tonight, right here on Relevant Radio, the Relevant Radio app, and you can even watch it with the family on your smart TV. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, producers Sarah Tafoya, Mariano Gomez, Gabby Burke, and our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.